Well, oh, the power. You are in for such a treat this morning because you are very rarely going to have to hear from me. Isn't that nice? Don't agree too loudly because our crazy crosses here have been practicing and have done a wonderful job in their delivery of our story as we're going to tell it. And all our younger children, they're all primed and they're ready too. And their leaders have done a fantastic job, so they know exactly where they're going to come up and what they're going to do. And I can just sit up here and try not to be too much of a distraction. But I'd like to invite up our crazy crosses just now. Or those of them who are doing narrators, up you come into position just now. And technical team, are we all set up there as well? Well done. That's great. So Ewan, am I handing over to you first? Okay, are we all set?
We're going to blow the cobwebs off our imaginations today and add a new character to the Christmas story from the Bible. Not one there in the stories told by Matthew and Luke. We're going to imagine together that the famous Bethlehem innkeeper had a daughter, and we're going to tell the Christmas story through her eyes. Shall we give her a name? How about calling her Hannah?
Hannah's day begins like any other. You see her making the beds. And clearing up dishes. And her least favorite job, emptying slops. But Bethlehem is busier than ever since the Romans announced the census. All mums and dads must return to the town of their ancestors to register. Bethlehem is King David's town, and all his family have come to be counted, including Mary and Joseph. In fact, here they come now.
Mary is sore and tired because she's going to have a baby. They are both tired from their long journey. They are anxious because they haven't found a place to stay. Lastminute.com hasn't been invented yet for such eventualities. And anyway, finding Wi-Fi in first century Palestine is a nightmare. Having unsuccessfully tried several inns, Mary and Joseph now visit our innkeeper. Hear him famously tell them.
No room at the inn.
Thanks, I couldn't have said it better. Hannah watches Joseph explain that everywhere else is full and that they need a bed now for Mary because her baby is coming. She feels sorry for them, so does her dad. He offers them the stable and he shows them into it when they gladly accept his offer. Hannah runs to bring them towels and pillows as they settle into the straw. Although it is late, she decides to pop by again soon to make sure they are comfortable and have some food to eat. Not long later, something special happened in the hay.
We're going to sing Away in a Manger. Let's stand to sing.
Thank you.
Meanwhile, out of Hannah's sight in the fields outside of Bethlehem, shepherds spend another long, lonely night watching over their flocks. They have eaten the same dinner on the same fire from the same bowls as they do every day. They have sung the same songs and told the same jokes and argued over the same stuff. Romans, religion, fashion. Nothing looks any different from a thousand other freezing, boring nights until...
Hannah knows none of this yet. She just wants to make sure Mary and Joseph have everything they need. Hannah knows none of this yet. She just wants to make sure that Mary and Joseph have everything that they need. As she approaches, the hustle and noise of several excited, breathless shepherds scares her. So she hides in the shadows and watches them lumbering into their stable. There is barely room in there for them all to watch and wonder at the scene their angels have just described in heavenly song.
Mary tells the shepherds that the baby is called Jesus. God rescues us. Hannah likes that name. Hannah knows these shepherds. She has never heard them agree on anything, except that the Romans charge too much taxes. Now she sees them dancing and hugging, as they all agree. The angels were right. God is born to them in a stable.
The next visitors to her home are new and wonderful to Hannah. Her eyes open in wonder at their exotic looks. Wise men arrive, wearing strange clothes and speaking in a language she had never heard. They tell a tale about following a star for many days, which would lead them to a new king.
They had first stopped in Jerusalem, but they were told by King Herod's scholars that they would be more likely to find the baby in Bethlehem if he was the king promised by God's prophet many years before. They had been delighted when they found the star again, shining over Bethlehem.
The scholars are right. The new king was born right here in Hannah's town, in our very own stable. They waste no time in worshipping the special baby. They give him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. She will see them leaving the next morning. Over her breakfast, they will discuss a dream they'll have, that King Herod wants to hurt her baby. To her relief, they will ask her dad for another way home so that they can avoid Jerusalem.
What an adventure. Rome's census has brought a tired couple to Hannah's door. Despite a full house, her daddy has accepted them, and she has helped care for them. Then the baby arrives, baby Jesus. So small, so feeble and fragile, all she wants is to help love him and care for him while he stays here. But the shepherds had known before that Jesus was born. Angels had told them, they said. And then visitors arrived from the east, following a special star. This was an adventure that would change a life forever.
Who can this be, that people from all places are welcome? Who can this be, that angels and stars announce his arrival? Hannah has chosen to care for the baby. Without realizing it, she has chosen to welcome a king. By being born here, the king of stars and angels has even accepted her help, little as it is. Hannah smiles as she hides in the shadows. Now she smiles every day as she thinks about her midnight adventure. She smiles as she makes the beds, clears the dishes, and even when she empties the slops. Accepting Jesus that day has changed her life forever. In helping a stranger, she has been accepted by a king. Could accepting this king into our lives change us forever too?
Well done, guys. Thank you to the Crazy Crosses. And to the Super Bees. Yay! And the Bumblers. And the Baby Bees. Well done, guys. You've done an excellent job. Okay, I think we'll let the wise men lead us back to our seats. Are you ready, wise men? There you go. Lead us on. And then the shepherds will lead the sheep. We'll give the angels one more second of glory. That's it. Okay, angels, you can follow the shepherds now. And Mary and Joseph, thank you very much. Crazy Crosses too, you can go back to your seats now, wherever you like. You can join the technical department if you like.
Join me.
Oh, yes, please.
I've always wanted to be Joseph. I'm not sure who that makes you. So that's all. Christmas is all about the birth of a baby. So I thought, oh, have there any babies been born that we know of recently? And here I found a picture. Oh, can anybody tell me what the name of that baby is? Any ideas? What's her name? What's her name? Yes, yes, what's her name? Faith! Yes, is Faith here today? She's just gone to the toilet. Here's another one. Here's another one. Oh, who can tell me the name of that baby? Yes, Sophia. Sophia. Yes, Sophia, Dave and Ruth's baby. Born a wee bit, more recently than Faith. Yes, but I've got a third one, and this one hit the headlines. Who can tell me the name of that baby? Yeah, Christine. Grace, that's right. Athel and Rosalind's baby, Grace. And they were all born, am I right, at The Simpsons? The Simpsons is an amazing place. It is the most up-to-date place in the world where you would want to have a baby. In fact, once Kate and Will hear about The Simpsons, that's where they'll come. Everything you need. You've got gas, you've got air, you've got epidurals, you've got birthing pools, you've got the lot. And something for the women too. I'm not quite sure what you meant. Do you know, my kids weren't born at The Simpsons. Isn't that terrible? They were deprived. They were born at a place called Elsie Ingalls. Hands up if you know where Elsie Ingalls was. Yes, the best hospital in the world. And, well, they had gas and air there. I'm not sure about the birthing pools, but it was just brilliant. It was fantastic. But Jesus, we're told, was born in a stable. Lindsay and I don't know if you know this, but Lindsay and I, give us a wave, Lindsay, so people know who we're talking about. There she is at the back. She doesn't know what I'm going to say now. Lindsay and I once spent the night in a stable. We did? We were staying in Pakistan, we were in the village, and there was a woman getting married in the village, a young girl, and so the whole village went to another village to celebrate the wedding. And there wasn't much room for anyone. And weddings in Pakistan go on all night. And we were pretty exhausted by the end of it. And so a friend of ours said, I found a wee space for you to sleep. And I've even got a bed. And it was this sort of lean-to against the walls of the mud hut. And it was a stable. And we thought, oh, that's so sweet. We've even got a bed and it's well away from the racket. We'll get some sleep. What do you tend to find in stables? Yes. Animals. That's right. And with animals come certain things. In this stable, there were some goats, and there were some water buffaloes. And there was a lot of stuff that water buffaloes produce in vast quantities. So it was quite a smelly place. So that was the first thing that I remember about the stable. But the other thing I remember about the stable was something that animals attract. Flies and mosquitoes. Flies during the daytime, mosquitoes at nighttime. And that night in that stable, we were bitten to death. We were eaten alive. Lindsay was so badly bitten. You know, in our relationship, we divide things up. She's the one who gets bitten by the mosquitoes. It's an arrangement that's written into our marriage contract. Don't know how you find that sometimes happens. But anyway, if there are any mosquitoes around, they'll bite Lindsay first. They bit Lindsay all night so badly that she actually, within a few days, she went down with malaria, which is quite a serious, serious illness. And all that got me thinking, Jesus was born in a stable. I wonder if there were flies and mosquitoes in the stable that night. I wonder if Mary and Joseph had to spend the whole night trying to keep the mosquitoes off amidst the smell and the dirt. And all that got me thinking, Jesus is God. God is born in a stable. What does that tell us about him? And I think it tells us lots of things about him. But one of the most important things it tells us about him is that when God was born and lived among us, he chose to be born in a stable. He could have been born in the palace, but he chose to be born in the smelliest place with all the dirt and all the flies and all the mosquitoes. And that tells me how much God must have loved us. And that is one of the biggest, biggest, biggest messages of the Christmas story. The Christmas story tells us how much God loves us. So how do we celebrate it? How do we celebrate it? I think we celebrate it in two ways. The first thing is not to sanitize it. Now, to sanitize it makes it is to make it all clean and perfect. And to airbrush away all the mosquitoes and the flies and the smell and all that sort of stuff and pretend that it was perfect. The Christmas story is not about that. The Christmas story is meant to shock us. It's meant to surprise us. And it's almost as if it loses its power to shock us and surprise us, then it will lose its power altogether. Because the Christmas story is about how much God loves us. And if the stable was a nice place, then it diminishes, it lessens God's love. So that's the first thing we've got to do. We've got to make sure that when we celebrate Christmas, it's the real Christmas we're celebrating. Something that really happened, that was hard and that was tough, but showed how much God loved us. And the second thing we need to do when we celebrate Christmas is really celebrate it. Because this is good news to all people. God wants us to celebrate. He wants us to have angels and sheep and lots of wise men and masses of shepherds and innkeepers' daughters and new songs and Mary and Joseph and he wants carols, he wants cards, he wants presents, he wants Christmas pudding, he wants crackers, he wants the works, because we have got really good news to celebrate. That God gave it all up. What was in it for him? Nothing. What was in it for us? Everything. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And he became one of us. And he simply asks us to trust him. And he promises, whoever trusts him will have everlasting life. Ah. Brings a tear to your eye. Now, we're going to sing a lovely song to a well-known old tune, sung by Val Dunican. Hands up if you can remember Val Dunican. Can you remember Scarlet Ribbons? Oh, excellent. Those of you who remember it, sing up loud. Shall we stand?